Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Living the Good Life, the radio ministry of Beacon of Hope Ministries in lovely and warm Clearwater, Florida. My name is Jim Ellsbury. I'm associate pastor. Pastor Marcia is off today with family fun. So, and I am joined in the studio with Nan Watson.
Hi, Pastor Jim.
Hi, Nan. And we will be joined on radio or on telephone by Betty Thomas from Indiana. Yeah, so looking forward to having Betty on today, too. So I hope Cedric heard that because I forgot to tell him that Betty would be calling in. Just not sure when. But I do want to welcome everyone. Okay, good. Is Betty on?
I'm here, Pastor.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine, sir. How are you doing?
I am good. I'm good. How's the weather up there?
Hey, believe it or not, it's 64 degrees.
Woo! Nice. Very nice. Well, it's a little bit warmer than that down here. We've had to turn on the air conditioner for the first time this season.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I wasn't real thrilled. But, you know, you live in Florida. You live by air conditioning about 8 months out of the year, so.
Yeah, we live up here by heat.
Yes, yes, I do remember that, so.
Hi, Betty.
Hi, Nan, are you there?
I'm here. Are you there?
I'm here. How are you doing, girl?
I'm doing really fine, Betty. How are you doing?
Hey, I tell you what, I couldn't be better if I was twins.
I like that.
Would we be able to handle two of you? Of course we would.
Of course you would.
You're easy.
You would love me two times more than you do now.
I don't know if that's possible. We love you so much now.
Oh, I know you do. I do. Praise God.
Amen. I do want to welcome all of our listeners. This is the 370th broadcast.
Woo.
I know, 30 more broadcasts, and we hit the big 400. I figured it up on my calendar, and I believe it is the Sunday before Thanksgiving will be the 400th broadcast of this radio show. So, praise God for that. We're, you know, consistently on the air, consistently sharing the Word of God, and it's something that we love to do.
Yeah.
If anyone is in the Clearwater area and you're looking for a church, I would highly encourage you to come visit Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are a non-denominational, inclusive, charismatic church, Bible-believing, as I used to say, Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, blood-washed. Those of you who know what that means, come join us because you'll really enjoy it. We had a wonderful service this morning. Where it looks like the Lord is moving us into a, not a new direction, but kind of just moving us forward. It's like I mentioned this morning in my sermon that just feel like right on the brink of something. It's just like we're right on the brink of something happening. So looking forward to that. But if you are in this area, our church services are at 10:30 on Sunday mornings, and we are located at 21933 U.S. Highway 19 North. It's a little tricky to get to the first time. It's back in kind of a little shopping industrial area back behind a car dealership right off of Drew Street. So you certainly go to our website, bohmglobal.com. There's a map on there. It's very clear on there, much clearer than I could ever that I could ever give you instructions on. So we have, like I said, service on Sunday morning at 10:30. We also have a Wednesday night dual service, we'll call it that. We have prayer meetings starting about 6:15, and we have Bible study then starting at 7. Wednesday nights are very casual. You bring I usually bring my dinner. A lot of people bring their dinner. Nan, you bring yours. And it's just kind of casual. We come in, we pray, we eat, we fellowship around the Word. So bring your Bible, pen and paper. You will want to take notes. If you have a camera on your phone, you might want to bring that because we also put everything up on the whiteboard. We have what, a 16-foot-long whiteboard that Pastor Marcia usually fills to the brim every Wednesday. And people have gotten into the habit of taking pictures of it so they can keep track of all the notes that were written.
And Betty, I forgot to send them to you. I plan on start sending them to you and Megan, and I just failed to do that, but I will send them to you this afternoon from Wednesday night. Please forgive me.
Oh, you're perfectly fine, ma'am. When you take pictures of those, it's like she writes, you know, Pastor Marcia writes all the way across, and then every other place you can find a whiteboard, she writes in that area too. So it's like, okay, you need to give us directions on which way to go.
Generally start at the left and head toward the right.
Right.
You'll see it's divided into threes normally. So we call them page one, page two, and page three.
Yeah.
Before we go to our first song, I just want to say this is the first Sunday after the resurrection, and I talked about the resurrection this morning, why it is so important, and I want to touch on that this morning and kind of continue in 1 Corinthians 15 about why the resurrection is important and what it means both individually for us and for the church as a whole. So, but I do want to start out today with a wonderful song, one of my absolute favorites of all time, The Victor by Keith Green.
Swallowed it to earth's dark womb. Death has triumphed, that's what they say. But try to hold him in the tomb. The Son of Life rose on the third day. Just look, the gates of hell, they're falling, crumbling from the inside out. He's bursting through the walls with laughter. Ha! Listen to the angel shout, listen. He has done it. Life conquered death. Jesus Christ has won it. His plan of battle, you know it, it fooled them. To die, but as he entered Hades' hall, he broke those hellish chains with a cry. Just listen to those demons screaming. See him bruise the serpent's head. The prisoners of hell he's redeeming. All the power of death.
Praise God. I love that song. I've loved it since, what, 1978? incredibly good song, and it actually sums up what I preached on this morning, and I do want to recap that just briefly because it's so important. You know, the resurrection comes around once a year, but St. Augustine said we are a resurrection people, and hallelujah is our song. And I think that's really, really important because, like I mentioned this morning, you cannot divorce what happened on the cross from what happened at the tomb. You cannot separate the two, and obviously without the cross, there would have been no empty tomb. But without the empty tomb, the cross would have been useless. And I mentioned, you know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 that, you know, if it wasn't for the resurrection, our faith is useless. We're still in our sins. And I think people maybe don't grasp that. But without the resurrection, there is no forgiveness. Because I'm going to put Nan on the spot. What did I say had to happen, Nan, when Jesus rose from the dead this morning?
He had to be seen.
He had to be seen.
By people.
And what did he have to do after that?
Oh, he had to go back to heaven.
Yes, yes. According to Hebrews chapter 8, Jesus had to take his blood before the Father in heaven and thus secure our eternal salvation. But he couldn't do that unless he had risen from the grave. Because remember what he told Mary in John chapter 20 is, don't touch me. You know, she wanted to kind of hold him, you know, hold on to him. And Jesus said, don't. I've not yet ascended. I need to do that. But go and tell my brothers I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. So it was right after he revealed himself to Mary that, and before, of course, he appeared to the 11 disciples or the 10 disciples that evening, that he went to heaven and presented his blood to the Father. And that's a pretty incredible thing because, you know, God the Father looked at the sacrifice that Jesus made as Jesus functioned as our high priest, and the Father said, it's enough. Mm-hmm. Forever, it's enough. And I brought this out this morning, Betty, when I was preaching. I think I know some of the people that were there that it was for, but God kind of gave me a word, and I just said, you know what? Talked about what Paul said, you know, that it was the grace of God working in him. He was the least of the apostles, and yet God's grace worked in him. And I just had a feeling that, well, I'm sure it was from the Spirit, I just said, it doesn't matter if you don't think you're up to the calling, if you don't think you're worthy of the calling, if you're too ashamed of something to walk in your calling, God has given you a calling, and he'll give you the grace to do it. You ever felt that way, Betty, where you just felt like, I'm not up to this, or I'm not worthy of this?
Oh, yes. In fact, it happens really more times than I would like to count. You know, you kind of go through a dry spell, I called it, where I would have rather sat in my lawn chair and watched everyone else go about, you know, God's business because I just didn't want to do it. And come Resurrection Sunday of that year, God gave me, by his grace, gave me the will to pull me out of the junk that I was going through because he let me know that he went to the cross for a reason. He went for me. And he went for all of our listeners that are tuning in now and will tune in later, that he died for all of us. And that should give us an initiative and a push forward to want to serve him with everything that we have, Pastor. And he died for our sins. And it was, you know, quoted in scriptures that it was going to happen. And he did it because he loved us. Mm-hmm. He loves each and every one of us the same.
Right. And in Romans, Paul talks about that. It says, you know, we didn't deserve it, but at just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly, for us.
Right.
And that's hard. That's so hard to grasp. And I struggled with it even after I got saved. I struggled for years, and sometimes I still do, with that being quote unquote worthy enough to have God's grace, and which is kind of an impossibility anyway. And, you know, we all mess up, but that's what grace is for.
Right.
You know,
May I read a poem that
I saw you over there writing, and I was just going to ask you about that.
Okay, well, now seems like the moment to read it. Because I arose from the dead, eternal security can be in your life. I will help you with all things to overcome and win in all your strife. I conquered death just for you. Little one, you are worth it all. I love you so very much. Look to me and listen to my call. Move forward in the direction I lead. I will give you the grace for such. You will boldly minister for me. I will help you with my touch.
Oh, I like that. Thank you, Nan.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
You know, some of us go out to lunch on Sundays after service, and there was just a small group of us there today. There were four of us. And it was really interesting. One person sat there and looked at the other two people sitting there and said, "Why do you think God has you at Beacon? What do you think you're supposed to do?" And I was like, "Ooh, this is going to be interesting lunch." You know, and it was interesting then to hear the responses to that. I don't think I would have come right out and asked that, but I thought that was pretty cool to kind of see where these people were coming from and what they feel led. You know, you were talking about answering the call in our life and mm-hmm. things like that. You know, everyone's not called to be a preacher or a teacher. And people sometimes who don't really realize or understand that, there's so many other things that people are called to do that's a necessary component of a church being functioning the way it's supposed to function. You know, can you imagine if everyone was going to try to play the piano? You know, Nathan's anointed to play the piano there, you know, and everyone has their own part and has their own place. And any one of them is not any bigger than any other. Than they're all the same in God's eyes. You know, just some people, you know, are a little more behind the scenes right. than Pastor Marsha right. getting up preaching. You know, but it doesn't make them any less of anything, because it's all important and it's all God's calling, and people need to answer the calling on their lives.
No matter what that calling happens to be. You made such a good point, Nan. Not all of the parts, and Paul compares in 1 Corinthians 12 to a body. He compares the church to a body. And, you know, some of the parts are right out there in front, like, you know, the face and the hands. They're right out there.
Right.
Some are not, you know. Some are more behind the scenes. But we need that because, you know, Paul says if we were all an ear, where would the eye be? Or if we were all an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And I think sometimes people think, well, my ministry is helps, you know, I clean up or I do this or I do that. And you know what? That's just as important, because nobody wants to come into a dirty church building. I mean, seriously. Or somebody might have a ministry of intercession, and you may never know that, but mm-hmm. you're going to, at least in the flesh, but you're going to sense that in the right. spirit, because the church needs those people behind the scenes that are praying, that are supporting the leadership and doing the battles behind the scenes. And that's just as important. It doesn't matter what calling God has placed on your life. Like you said, Nan, whatever it is, it's just as important as anyone else's calling. I'm called to be a teacher. I'm not called to be a preacher. I don't preach. I teach. Not to say I haven't gotten carried away a few times, but I have gotten carried away a few times, but not on an ongoing basis, shall we say. That's not where my heart is. That is where Pastor Marsha's heart is. And in a way, the two of us, we've talked about it before, balance, that mm-hmm. brings a balance in between the two, because preaching can be a lot of heat, we'll say, you know, a lot of heat. And teaching is the water that you put that hot metal in that makes it strong. Did that make sense? I hope so. I remember, you know, what you would make like a sword. You'd heat it up, and you'd beat it and get it sharp and get the edges, and then you plunge it into cold water because that would harden it. And that's kind of like preaching. Preaching gets you all hot, and you know that's what God uses to mold you. And then the teaching is what hardens you. It gives you the basis. And any ministry is like that. No matter what it is, it's needed. And it's balance. You know, it brings balance to the body. And we have to have all that. Otherwise, we would look kind of grotesque as a body would go.
You know what? Who comes to my mind is Sean. Sean is a man whose his calling is helps, you know. And he pays excellent attention to our facilities. He sees things I just don't notice to take care of. It's like he has his routine. He does his things. He sits out his chairs. He puts them back, you know, outside chairs, you know, sitting just if someone sets a few minutes before service or whatever, you know. He is always doing his thing.
Right.
And he does it very well.
Right. Well, a deacon's heart.
That's true. He does have a deacon's
definitely
heart.
Definitely a deacon's heart. So, you know, praise God for the variety in the body. I do want to start with 1 Corinthians 15, starting with verse 20. I love this. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Okay, it's a fact. This isn't fiction. And we talked this morning back up in verses 3 and 4 and 5 of 1 Corinthians, you know, Paul says, this is the most important thing. Christ died for your sins. He rose again, or he was buried. He rose again in accordance with the scriptures. And he was seen by, and then he lists off all these different people that saw Jesus after he had risen from the dead. And that's a pretty significant list. You know, if it was one or two people, I'd be a little doubtful. But it was Peter, especially, the rest of the apostles, 500 people at one time, James, and I love the way it's phrased, James and the rest of the apostles. People outside of the number of the 12, like Barnabas, who was called an apostle. Jesus appeared to these people. And then lastly, Paul says, and then he appeared to me. You know, we have witnesses of the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just incredible. And we'll get into what Paul says about that and why it's important to him. But he says, you know, it's real. In fact. Christ has been raised from the dead. Ooh, you know, that's pretty incredible. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And guess, anybody want to hazard a guess what Jewish holiday he was raised on? The first fruits from the dead. First fruits. Remember, and I didn't get a chance to teach on it this year, but there's Passover, which, of course, is Jesus, the Lamb of God, on the cross. There's unleavened bread, which follows the next day. And that was the getting rid of all the sin, which is what Jesus, you know, he took it all on the cross, and he took it away. And then the next feast on the calendar was first fruits, which fell on the day after the Sabbath, after the Passover. And the day after the Sabbath is Sunday. Okay, starting, of course, the Jewish calendar on Saturday night. But, you know, Paul says he's the first fruits. He fulfills that feast. So Jesus fulfills Passover by being the Passover lamb. He fulfills unleavened bread by taking our sins and our sin nature and taking it away. Totally taking it away. Totally removing it. Like the leaven had to be removed from the household, Jesus took the leaven of our sin out of our lives. And then he fulfills the feast of first fruits by rising from the dead. Now, there again, that just, Scripture fits so well together. I mean, Jesus fulfilled all of these feasts, and just incredibly so. And that builds my faith. Just to think, you know, I don't know if Moses had any idea when he was writing down Leviticus 23 about all these different feasts. Mm. I wonder if he stopped and said, you know what? Someday, the Messiah is going to fulfill this feast. Someday, the Messiah is going to fulfill this feast. I don't know if he did that or not, but praise God, we can look at it and say, Jesus fulfilled these feasts.
Some time ago, you taught and you told the number, percentage, I'm not doing this right, of...
The odds,
yeah. That might be an interesting thing to input.
Yeah. I think Pastor shared this too, and I forget the exact odds, but the odds of any one person even doing, 10 of the Messianic prophecies is impossible, because the odds are greater than all the people that have ever lived. And Jesus fulfilled far more than 10 of the prophecies. He fulfilled them all, and it's like one in, 141, 10 times 10 to the 141st power or something, some incredibly near infinite number. And again, it all comes back to Jesus. He's the only one who fulfilled all of these. But, you know, Paul says, but now is Christ risen, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And I don't know, I love Handel's Messiah, and I can almost sing the next verse because it's, you know, Handel wrote it in there. Since by man came death, by man has come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Wow. I love those verses. Since by man, and it's talking about Adam there, since by Adam death came to all of us, so by Jesus life comes, the resurrection comes. Because we are all in Adam, we can't escape that, unfortunately. We're going to die. But in Christ, we'll be made alive. Now that's hope. That gives me great hope, Betty. How about you?
Oh, definitely, because Christ was raised from the dead. Again, I hate to be repeating myself, but he did it for us.
Mm-hmm.
And to fathom that can be quite perplexing to some people. It's like, why would he do that? Well, resurrection means to stand. I mean, he stood up. I mean, he stood up after he was declared dead. And I think that they had, for some people, they had to see that he was actually dead. But then to stand up, come out, be resurrected, to show himself to 500 people, it was a witness. And that's what he's calling us to do today, is to be a witness for him. And because of that resurrection, Pastor Jim and Nan, that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to tell from our heart, from inside of us, what have I done? What has Jesus done for you? What has Jesus done for me? I mean, I could give a whole sermon on what he's done for me over the past however many years I've been a Christian, but it just goes to show that there's a transformation that takes mm-hmm. place after that resurrection, because I think it transformed as many people after as it even did before, because of the greatness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And I said this morning, because Jesus has risen, has ascended to the Father, and of course sent the Holy Spirit, we have Jesus, we have the risen Lord living within us. And that, I think, is hard for some people to grasp, that You know, I compared it to when Moses asked the Lord, you know, let your glory pass before me. And God said, well, you can't see my face, so I'll cover you. You know, I'll cover you with my hand when my glory passes by. Because it would, I mean, even though Moses spoke to the Lord friend to friend, you still could not see the glory of God and live. And yet, guess what resides within us? The very glory of God. You know, it's not like the glory is outside of us, like it was in the Old Testament, you know, residing between the two cherubim above the mercy seat. That glory cloud, that same cloud that led the Israelites, that same cloud that spoke to Moses, you know, that same glory that overshadowed Mary lives inside of us. That same glory cloud that overshadowed Peter, James, and John when Jesus was transfigured, that dwells within us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to grasp that is victory. Because Almighty God lives inside of us. And yeah, we still fall. We're still going to fall until Jesus comes back. You know, we're still going to be human. But the power that's available to us, and Paul writes in Ephesians, let's turn over to Ephesians 1. I'm going to sound like Pastor Marsh, but you know what? This is going a different direction. How about that?
Imagine that.
But, you know, Paul has that wonderful prayer of his starting in about verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 1. And I, just as a side, Ephesians chapter 1 makes a great prayer. The whole chapter just makes a wonderful prayer. But he writes in Ephesians 1 verse 15, "For this reason, because I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great power that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." Oh, what a wonderful prayer. And it's all because Jesus has been resurrected. But Paul says, I'm praying to God the Father of glory, that he'd give us that spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of him. And that's, you know, we need that, especially these days, that spirit of wisdom and revelation. We can't, the world is getting to be harder and harder to live in, and we need really to depend on the guidance of the Holy Spirit moment by moment. And he says, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. Okay, we really know. Do we really look forward to the coming of Jesus? I mean, I have looked forward to it since 1973. So I'm really getting antsy. But it was, you know, it was biblical prophecy that got me, that brought me to Jesus. I mean, it was just looking at biblical prophecy and that brought me to the point where I finally accepted Jesus into my heart. And I think we can't afford to lose hope. And, you know, I don't know what everybody's feelings are about when the rapture is going to take place, but whether it's tomorrow or 3.5 years from now or 7 years from now or 27 years from now, The world is getting worse and worse, and it's easy to lose hope. It's easy to look. I'm starting to preach. It's easy to look around and lose hope. I mean, I'm on Facebook, and some of my friends from high school, it's just scary because it's all like bitter and just no hope. And even though some of their posts, they profess to be Christians, it's like, oh, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. And you know what? Yeah, it is. But I'm not losing hope. I'm not going to lose my hope because I read the last chapter of the book and we win.
Amen.
You know, we win. And the Lord said in Matthew 24 that, you know, he gave all those signs because he said, I want you all to know what's going to happen. I want you to know what's going to happen. I don't want this to take you by surprise. And he said in Luke, men's hearts will fail them because of everything that's going on. And he says in Matthew 24 that because of the increase of lawlessness, and what do we see? Every day another shooting, every day road rage, every day this, every day that. I mean, it just looks like lawlessness is out of control. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, because of the increase of lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold, but the ones who endure to the end shall be saved. And the word he uses there for love is agape, and that is only used of Christians. You should see me. I'm tapping on my Bible. I'm really...
Can you hear that? I'll put my microphone over there.
Yeah. It's only used of Christians. So he's not talking about pagan folk losing hope and growing cold. He's talking about us. He's talking about Christians, and I know some pretty bitter Christians who've lost hope. And Jesus said, don't let your love grow cold, because the one who endures to the end will be saved. It's, you got to remain steadfast in the love of Christ, in the love of God, and let his love motivate what you do, because that is going to be that light shining in the midst of a dark world. And yes, there may be a time when we have to lay down our lives. And that's okay. You know, I'd rather be planted in the ground for the resurrection than have no hope of it at all. Whew. Well, that was a nice little sermonette. So
there you go.
But praise God.
Amen.
I mean,
amen, brother.
You know, it's so true. We need to realize the hope to which we are called. And what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? Think about that. We're his inheritance. We're his glorious inheritance. Now that's going to shake some people up. Oh, I can't be his. You don't know what I did 5 minutes ago. You don't know what I did 10 minutes ago. You don't know how dirty and sinful I am. Yeah, God does.
Exactly.
Okay. He knows our, as King James said in Psalm 139, he knows our down sitting and our uprising. You know, he knows us better than we know ourselves. And yet he's made us his glorious inheritance. Oh, I love that. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us? It's that same resurrection power. It's that same power that raised Christ from the dead that God has put within us. So, yeah, I mean, I know there's sometimes I just sin stupidly. You know, it's like, I know better, but I know what my triggers are, and yet I just do it. You know, it's just stupid. And yet if I rely on that resurrection power, it doesn't matter what Satan throws at me. But again, we have to come to the realization that that's what dwells within us. Paul says in Romans 8:11, if that same spirit which raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he will quicken, he'll make alive your mortal bodies. Okay, and guess who lives within us? That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. He gives life to our mortal bodies. You know, God's love is so incredible.
You know, Pastor, that is probably the greatest power that has ever been seen on the face of this God-given earth, was the power of the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
But with that power came the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that lives within us, which gives us the power to overcome. Because, you know, if God be for us, Pastor and Nan, who can be against us?
Amen.
There stands a cross 2,000 years ago that stands for the greatest gift that any person can give, and that was that God gave his son Jesus, gave his life for us. That should be power enough for all of us, not just me and you and Nan and Pastor Marcia. It should, that's all of us. That includes everyone that's listening now and listening later. That power is available to you through the power of God's Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Is it not?
Amen. And we just have to remember, and I think that's why Paul was reminding them here in Ephesians 1. Remember this. Remember what your hope is. Remember what your inheritance is. Remember the power that dwells within you. Because, you know, it's there. We just have to remember it and draw from it. You know, live, that's why, you know, live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. That's where the victory comes. That's where the victory comes. So I want to just take a moment and we'll listen to our next song. I told Nan earlier, I said, I put some golden oldies on here. He's Alive by Don Francisco.
The gates and doors were barred and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness and rose at every sound, half in hopeless sorrow and half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. And just before the sunrise, heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle and the voice began to call. Hurried to the window and looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. There was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they've moved him in the night and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found the stone and the empty tomb just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet that wrapped him in was just an empty shell. And how or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Well, something strange had happened there, but just what, did not know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him, then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. But suddenly the air was filled with strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide, and I fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. He raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, Love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt in my confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Sometimes you just gotta go back.
Yeah, you do. I love that song.
It's such a wonderful song. Oh, I love that song.
Oh, I do.
And
I can remember when I used to sing it and play it on my guitar. It was just, I mean, at the tail end of that, man, you're really into it. It is totally awesome.
Yes, it is. What a great song. And it goes, you know, it's true. You know, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive, and I'm forgiven. Mm-hmm. Heaven's gates are open wide. Not only were hell's gates destroyed, but heaven's gates were flung open by the resurrection. And we now have access to the very presence of God because of what Jesus did. And just incredible. And Nan, I believe you, I saw you over there writing. I think you have more poem for
God
us.
God gave me another poem. How do you say it, Betty? Poem?
Poem.
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 Poem. I rose out of that grave to give you eternal life. I will help you in all you do. I am with you through the good and the strife. As you spend time with me, I will help you in all you do. You'll be victor in your battles. I'm right there with you. I have a calling upon you. My grace will guide you. You will reach many for me. I will lead you in what you're to do. And we're all like little ministers in that. I know we've mentioned on the radio station before, you know, the people that you can reach, Pastor Jim, I can't reach because they're not in my life. You may be the only light that they see, and you're following the will of God for your life and allowing that to shine forth at your work, with your friends, or wherever. And everyone has a calling, and everyone can reach and minister to those that are in their sphere of their life.
Right, and each of us have people that, and God will bring people into our life that one way or another we're going to be able to reach. You know, we sang Days of Elijah this morning, and it talks about we're the workers. You know, we're the workers in the harvest. We're bringing in that harvest. And God will put people, I mean, he knows who our lives and our words and are going to be able to reach. Mm-hmm. So he'll put those people in our lives so that we can, you know, minister life to folks. Because that's...
Well, I can attest to that, Pastor Jim. There was a post on Facebook this morning before we headed out the door. God often uses our deepest pain as the launching pad of our greatest calling.
I saw that.
And one of the things that I can attest to in my own life, if I may share, is the death of my grandson, Grayson.
Mm-hmm.
And how many people just in the last, he passed and went to be with the Lord 2 weeks ago, and how many people that just this little cherub angel, how many people that he has reached through Megan's story it's jaw-dropping, Pastor and Nan, because people have come up to us that we would never even have thought would have touched or reached. When you don't think that your story is good enough, your testimony, the words that you speak are so powerful that people are coming up that we would never know that had either given their life to the Lord, if they were you know, you try to reach them through your actions and through the words that you speak. But they said that that story has touched them in a way that they will never be the same. And it's because of Jesus that that story has gotten out. Being able to share and being able to, people relate to the misery, the grief that comes with the passing of a loved one. And it does my heart good to know that one day, if when Jesus comes back, that glory, the glory that we see, will be available to each of us if we reach out and just touch and say the name of Jesus. And it's amazing to me when you were talking about the way that the world is going, is that we need the Lord now more than we've ever needed him before. And it troubles me that so many people, including myself, that we're not reaching more people than what we should and what we can.
Mm-hmm.
And just by the word of our testimony, I think that it has reached more people than what I can even fathom and imagine, because she's had like 900 and some odd people relate back to her what the Lord is doing in their lives. So that,
wow,
to me is a blessing.
Oh, absolutely. And I think of that Ray Bolt song, you know, where he talks about, you know, gets to heaven and never realized all the different lives that had been touched. And praise God, because, I mean, that's a blessing, because Megan knows how many, you know, she knows she's touching a lot of lives, and not everybody gets that privilege, at least this side of heaven. So, you know,
and it's becoming more relevant in the next few weeks, that there's going to be a lot more people reached than what we could ever imagine. Because I think even Pastor Marcia had given Megan a word, even just over the telephone, and she gave her a word of a prophetic word many years ago when Megan was just
a child,
knee high to a grasshopper, that she would reach thousands of people for Christ. And, you know, that was many years ago. So if you think that, you know, maybe a word that you have gotten or something that you felt you were led to do, that if it doesn't come to fruition now, be patient and wait for that still small voice to tell you it's time to go forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. And so what I talked about this morning in church was, yeah, I'd been given words back in the 70s, the 1970s, and after everything that had happened with me, I was sure none of them, not a one of them, was going to come to pass, and not all of them have. But one of the things I'll never forget, we had evangelists come in, they were missionaries, and they prophesied over me. This had to be 1980, maybe, 79, 80, and they prophesied that I would be ministering and teaching and helping to lead worship. And so much had happened shortly thereafter, I figured that was a pipe dream. That was, you know, God was not going to fulfill that. And guess what I'm doing now? You know, so yeah, praise God. He is faithful. That was a word that came up this morning where, I don't know if Pastor Marsh has talked to you about it, but we're reserving time. The Lord had really put on Pastor Marsh's heart, we have that altar, the whole thing up, finally, in our new building.
Awesome.
And the Lord told her that we need to start using it. And we had a leadership meeting last Wednesday, and we decided we would do that. Like after praise team practice, we would go in and we use the altar, and it made such a difference this morning in the service. And the really amazing thing, and I hope I'll explain this to our listeners, sometimes God gives us words of knowledge. And I was on one side of the altar, because it's on both sides of the platform, and Nathan was on the other side, and we both knelt down in the very second we both knelt down, God gave us both a word, the same word, that if we're faithful to do what he's called us to do, he will be faithful to fulfill the promises he's made to us. And, I mean, yeah, it was pretty amazing because I didn't realize it until Nathan and I were talking afterwards, and Nathan said, God gave me the same thing. So, you know, praise God. What a wonderful God we serve. And, you know, he just calls us to be faithful, calls us to be obedient, to do what he's called us to do. And, you know, it may be different for each one of us. You know, the specifics of the call may be different. Faithful to his word. He's true to his word. You know, he said, my word that I send out, it's not going to come back to me void. It's not going to come back to me void. It's going to accomplish what I send it to do. And even if we have to wait, like Abraham, 25 years to see the fulfillment of the prophecy, and even if, like Abraham, we have to look at our tired, old, dead, shriveled up body and think, how in the world is God going to give me a son? And then, you know, Sarah, oy, you know, 90 years old and she's having a baby. Now, you know, God promised. And even though you have to wait, and even though Abraham tried a couple of times to fulfill that prophecy by doing it on his own terms, God was faithful. Because Abraham believed, God was faithful. And what happened? Abraham and Sarah got a baby boy named Isaac. And praise God. Praise God. Well, why don't you stop for a second, take station identification, and we'll be right back with Living the Good Life.
WTAN Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
I get such a kick out of that. Listen. Praise God. Welcome, everyone, to the second hour of Living the Good Life. This is our 370th show. We are the radio ministry of Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. We are on the air every Sunday from 3 o'clock until 5 o'clock. We have various ministries. Very quickly, we meet on Sunday mornings at 10:30 for our worship service. We meet on Wednesday evenings for prayer at 6:15. Bible study at 7, and we also have a prayer ministry, which Nan is going to explain to us.
Oh, it's a great. If you have a prayer need, you email it into prayers@bohmglobal.com. I got it. and just send in your prayer request, and then it's picked up either by Carol or by Pastor Jim, and it's put back out as an email along with a prayer that you got to pray that prayer if you want to pray that specific prayer about that need to all the people who are on the prayer list. If you want to be on the prayer list, you can also send in your email address to that same prayers@bohmglobal.com. And then you can be added that way too. It's a very powerful ministry. I know there's been times I've utilized it, and God really moved in the situation, whatever was happening with me at the time. And I know many other people, you know, we hear praise reports back on those. So that's a very powerful ministry.
Right. And I was going to say, please, if you do send us a prayer request, and when the Lord answers your prayer, let us know that, because I do keep track of the answers that we get. And that's kind of a faith building sort of thing. But it also, we can look back and say, you know what? Kind of like Samuel, when he put up the stone and called it Ebenezer, the stone of help. You know, he said, thus far, the Lord has helped us. We can look back and see those almost landmarks in our journey with him. You know, thus far, the Lord helped us. And you know what? He helped us along over here, too. And he helped us over here. So we can look at those things. And it's important to have those kind of landmarks in our life. So, yes, I agree with Nan. Please, if you have a prayer request, send it in. We pray believing that God's going to answer.
Right.
You know, we've had prayer requests for relationship issues, medical issues, psychological issues. We've had prayers for lost pets. And what happened? Glory to God. We had this flurry of lost animals, what, 2 weeks ago, a week ago?
Yeah, horrendously 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and we had this flurry. Everybody was losing their animals. And we did. I mean, seriously, we took it to the prayer line, and guess what? They're all found. They all came back.
Our cat was gone for 13 days, and he was really, really old and feeble, and just knew he was gone, you know. And all of a sudden, one night, it was almost dark, he came walking up. We were in the front yard. He came walking up. Praise God. And I think that helped to bear witness to my roommate also of God answering prayer, brought Monkey back, you know. I mean, and then there were two other cats that happened right. to. All three came back the same day.
All three. Carol and Maxine's mm-hmm. cat. And
amen.
Was it Robin and Ava's cat was gone. And God brought them all back. And just a side note, very funny. The cat is named Monkey. I just thought it was a real monkey. They kept talking about Monkey being gone. I thought it was a real monkey that had vanished. And I thought, oh, great, another wild monkey out in Pinellas County. So, just what we need. But it was then Nan said, no, it's a. I was reading the prayer request. It said, Monkey the cat. And I thought, what? So I could have sworn it was a real monkey they were talking about. But we just want to welcome everybody back. As you can see, we have a good time in Jesus. We have a good time in the Lord. Welcome back. We've been talking about kind of vaguely 1 Corinthians 15. You know me, if you've listened to any other times I'm on, when I'm kind of heading this up, I tend to jump all over the place. But we have been talking about the resurrection of Jesus and why it's important. And, you know, for us individually, why it's important for the church. And kind of following that up, I do want to start out this hour with the song Glorious Day by Casting Crowns.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. The word became flesh and the light shined among us. Glory revealed, living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever, one day he's coming, oh glorious day. And rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is here. Hands that heal nations stretched out on a tree and took the nails for me.
Conceal him no longer. One day. justified freely forever. One day he's coming on glorious day. Oh, glorious day. Glorious day. Oh, glorious day.
Yeah, that pretty much sums up everything right in that one song. Casting Crowns, wonderful, wonderful song. But that's true. I mean, the words in the song, especially the chorus, is everything we've talked about, you know, the death, the burial, resurrection, second coming of Jesus. It's so vitally important that, you know, that we talk about that with our friends. Let them know. I mean, it's not, the gospel's not something we can hide. You know, Paul exhorts all of us to do the work of an evangelist.
Right.
You basically to be loudmouths for Jesus. And, you know, obviously we need to back that up by what we do, because our words without a life to back it up are useless. You know, and
doesn't mean anything. Well, speaks loudly about what they say he's not. Look at the way they live and the way they talk, and it doesn't match.
Exactly. It just gives the world the, not that they need any more excuses. Exactly. So God help us not to be an excuse for the world to turn away from God.
Could I share a poem that he just gave me during that song?
Of course you may.
A poem. Hear that, Betty? A poem.
A poem.
A poem.
A poem. It was a glorious day. When I was born as a baby, it was necessary to occur in order to set you free. One day I was beaten. I allowed this to occur that day. I could have called help from angels, but I didn't. For you, I was making the way. One day I arose from the dead. It was necessary to set you free. Child, you have been set free. I love you so much that you can see. Oh, what a glorious day when I'll return in all my glory. Move forward and share with others. Child, you can do that, for you have a story. And, you know, that's kind of along the lines of what, you know, Megan has a story. And look at, like, Betty has shared how many people, you know, that God's already used her to share with out of what was a very tragic, painful thing, yet God's using that. And she has a story to tell, and that's what she's doing. But everyone has a story to tell, you know. People listening may think, well, I didn't go through that, or I didn't go through this, or I didn't go through that. But whatever you've been through, you have a story.
And I think some people think, well, I didn't have a tragic life. I didn't have a momentous, salvation experience. But you know what? Sometimes those are the people who are the hardest to reach. Maybe people that have grown up in church. And, you know, I grew up in church. I went to a little Methodist church. And I think I've shared this before. We tended to have, by and large, mostly very liberal ministers. And I was in the youth group, and we got together in 1971 and listened to the then new rock opera, Jesus Christ Superstar. And the pastor asked us at the very end of it, well, what did they leave out? What did Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice leave out? And none of us knew. And you know, if you listen to it, if you've seen the movie, which I still like, I do love that movie. It was one of those things God did use to bring me to himself. But there's no resurrection there. Mm. They leave him, you know, they take him down off the cross and put him in the tomb, and that's where they leave him. That's that very last song on that album is John 1941 is the name of it. They laid him in a tomb and sealed it shut.
Mm-mm.
But none of us, the sad thing was none of us knew that. And, you know, people grow up in church and they don't know. They don't know. And it may not be that you have some big old dynamite testimony of how God, you know, saved you from drugs and saved you from this and saved you from that. But there are people out there that need to hear, you know what? Just one day quietly, I came to know Jesus. I came to realize that, you know what? God really does love me. Because you don't have to have a slam bang testimony. But you just have to be able to share, you know what? God loves me.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, you know, one day I said yes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
So. Well, there was a little boy, several years ago when I was in children's ministry. You know what his testimony was?
Mm-mm.
The song Jesus Loves Me.
There you go.
And, you know, it can be just as much as a song that maybe lives in your heart that you totally and truly believe in of what Jesus did for you by the power of his resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if God be for us, who can be against us?
Right.
It's just that simple, Pastor and Nan, that a song, just one word is, you know, or two words, that he loves me. He loves me. No matter what I do, no matter where I go, if I leave him behind, he's always right there where I left him. And he's just so gracious and so loving that he went to the cross. And it still brings me to tears when I see it. We went to see the show, and it still brings me to tears to see him whipped, because he was bruised for our iniquities. He was bruised for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by his stripes we are healed. That still brings me to tears, because I can't imagine anyone going through all of what he did for me.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it for you. He did it for Nan. And he did it for all of our listeners.
Right.
And it still brings me to tears, because I'm just so appreciative. I mean, I could never thank him enough for doing what he did for me on that cross and through his resurrection.
Amen. Amen. And the great thing is he doesn't... I'm trying to think how I want to say that. It's not like we have to... You're right. We couldn't do enough in return, mm-hmm. except give him our lives.
Right.
You know, except submit. And I just feel led to read... Betty, you've quoted a couple of times, if God be for us, who can be against us? And I want to read those scriptures out of Romans chapter 8, because I'm just thinking, feeling like somebody needs to hear those. It's Romans chapter 8, starting with verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, then who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Praise God.
I think those are some of the most powerful verses Paul ever wrote. Because, you know, nothing. Who's going to bring a charge against us? Our sins have been washed away. God has justified us, which means he has made us righteous, and that's our standing with God. You know, I may sin, I may not be completely holy yet, but I'm righteous. I have right standing with God. I can go before my Father because I have that right standing. And, you know, he says, who's going to condemn? Not Jesus. He died and was raised for us. It's not going to be the Father. It's not going to be Jesus that condemns us. Other people might. Mm-hmm. But as long as I'm certain of my position in Jesus, it doesn't matter what they say. And Paul even goes as far as, you know, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, death. Nothing can separate us. Because in every one of those things, because Jesus rose from the dead, in every one of those things, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us.
In the King James Version, towards the end of that, it said, and nor any other creature. And, of course, that can be a human creature. And I just really, I feel in my spirit that there's somebody either listening now or listening in the future that are ridiculed for the stand they take for Christ, perhaps by a spouse or significant other, but are ridiculed. And they just need to be reminded that that person or anybody else cannot take out of your heart what is there. You know, I mean, I can recall towards the very end before my husband and I separated, a specific time I was in the nursery praying and spending time with God. And I can remember him coming in and ridiculing me and making fun of me and telling me how you're not a Christian. Look at you. You're not a Christian. Look how you fight. Look, we were in a very, it was a very abusive relationship I was in, you know. But I mean, and I'd like to encourage whoever is listening that this is for, and maybe more than one person, I don't know, but whoever's in your life that's speaking negative to you, they cannot take the love of Jesus Christ out of your heart. They cannot remove Christ out of your life, period. Amen. They can't do it. They cannot do it.
Amen. And kind of, I'll go along with that, Nan. The first summer after I got saved, I worked. My family had connections with my hometown, so I was able to work for the city. And that year, I worked for the water and sewer department. And otherwise, supposedly, you know, a guy that I worked with was like well-bred. He was a year older than me. His father was my optometrist. So this, you know, this was not some dumb hick kid. This was a well-educated. He was also in college. He was well-educated. And yet he found out that I was Christian. And I know you've heard me share this before, Nan. He found that I was Christian. And that whole summer, I was verbally persecuted for my faith. And at one point, physically persecuted because he took a pair of ice grips and clipped him on my back. And yet, I mean, I lived that verse. It's like, we took that gifts test, and one of my gifts is martyrdom. The gift you only use once. So it's like, you know.
Sorry.
And that's okay. I laugh too. You know, it's like it's the gift you can only use once. But, you know, I understand verbal and physical persecution. And you know what? It's okay because God says in all these things, we're more than conquerors, and we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. We're more than conquerors because God is alive. Jesus is alive. And what an incredible thing that the God of the universe took on our flesh, you know, humbled himself to take on our flesh because he loved us. And not only that, I mean, you know, we said at the Passover meal, if God had done this at Dainu, it would have been enough. That would have been plenty. But not only did he take on our flesh, he took on our sins and our sin nature. You know, it says, you know, God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So he took on our sins and went to the cross, our sicknesses, and took them to the cross. And then to put a seal on all of that, seal the deal, he rose from the dead. You know, he rose from the dead. All sin was defeated. Satan was defeated. All of that because Jesus rose from the dead. So I want to go to this song, one of my new favorites, God's Not Dead by the Newsboys.
What timing?
No.
Oh.
Exploring, bring the day. of revival. Let heaven roar and fire fall. Come shake the ground with the sound of revival.
Oh, praise God. Love that song. We sang that at church a few weeks back. That was an adventure. But it's so true. You know, God's not dead. Mm. He's surely alive.
He's surely alive.
And he's living on the inside. Mm. And I love the next line. Roaring like a lion. You know, the risen Lord roars like a lion inside of us. And that's just an incredible thing.
Pastor Jim, God gave me another poem. He seems to be doing it every song. May I read it? It's about God being not dead. I am not dead. No, not at all. I am here. Always call upon me. I will help you through all things. I know how to guide. You will see. I am not dead. No, not at all. Let revival start in you today. You can make such an impact. Study my word. Look to me and pray. I am not dead. No, not at all.
Amen. Amen. And, yeah, and on that, I do want to get back to 1 Corinthians 15, because I like what Paul says, and this, I'm hoping this will tie everything together. But in verse, let's see, about 32, he said, what do I gain if, humanly speaking, I fought with beasts at Ephesus? If the dead are not raised, let us eat, drink, and be merry. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Okay, and that's the attitude of a lot of people. You know, they have no hope. And, you know, that was that verse that God gave me for Megan with, you know, when Grayson went to be with Jesus. Was that, you know, Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, I don't want you to be uninformed about what's going to happen so that you won't grieve like those who have no hope. You know, God expects us to grieve, but we don't grieve like those who have no hope, because it's not let us eat and drink for tomorrow we may die. Verse 33 says, don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. And I love verse 34. And I'm reading out of the English Standard Version. Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right, and don't go on sinning. For some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. You know, wake up from your drunken stupor. And I think Paul was being figurative there. I don't think all the Corinthians were laying around drunk. But, you know, he says, y'all are in a stupor. You know, without this hope of the resurrection, you're just being like you're all drunk. And he says, wake up. Wake up. And do what is right and stop sinning. He said, some of you act like you don't know God. And I say this to your shame. And I know the King James there says, awake to righteousness and sin not.
Right.
Did I quote that right, Nan?
You did very good, okay. Pastor. Thank you.
You know, awake to righteousness. Awake to what God has done for you and stop messing around, because we don't have time. Because the next whole section here of 1 Corinthians 15 is Paul starts talking about what's going to happen. And he says, you know, apparently some people, you know, these were Greeks, and Greeks really loved philosophy, you know. I probably would have gotten along pretty well with some of them. You know, just they loved to just talk about nothing. And apparently some of the people there were doubting that there was going to be an actual resurrection. Or how is this going to take place? Because, you know, Greeks would always, that in their philosophies, they'd always try to answer all your questions. And in church history, that type of thinking has tended to get us into some issues. But, you know, they also had this idea that God, matter, you know, God was spirit, and he couldn't dirty his hands with matter. So there was that whole side issue going on. How could it be a physical resurrection? Because, you know, it's spirit, and spirit is what counts. Mm. And they did not see, unlike Hebrew thought, which sees the person as a unity. I mean, even though we have different parts, our mind, our will, our emotions, our body, our spirit, the Hebrew mind sees us as a whole. The Greek mind tended to try and split us in pieces. So Paul addresses that here. He says, you know, some of you will ask, how will the dead be raised? What kind of body will they have? You know, I can just hear them. Oh, let's sit around and get real nitpicky about mm-hmm. what kind of resurrection body we're going to have. I've been in groups like that, so I've participated in those discussions. But, you know, he just goes on, and I love these verses. Down in, starting with verse 42. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power.
Amen.
Sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body. Oh, I love those verses. We are perishable. You know, we're decaying. You know, Paul says I think 2 Corinthians, our outer man is decaying day by day. Mm-hmm. And that's true. And yet our inner man goes stronger. So when we die, we're sown perishable. We're going to corrupt. Mm. Okay? But we're raised imperishable. I think King James even uses the words corruptible and incorruptible there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know,
yep.
For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and we'll be raised incorruptible. Sown in dishonor, raised in glory. Oh, love that.
Mm.
Sown in weakness, raised in power.
Mm.
Okay, our bodies, you know, we are weak. We're wearing out. I mean, as we age, the law of entropy catches up with us at some point, and we start to, like, our eyesight starts to go, our hearing might start to go, our teeth might start to go. But praise God, that's our weakness. That's just part of being on this earth. But we're sown in weakness. We're going to be raised in power. And we talked about that earlier, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. That same power that lives within us now is going to raise up this body on that last day. We're going to have a new body. Go ahead, Ann.
I know. I was just thinking, I became more, what would be a word, can more easily see, I guess, you know, the spiritual part of us versus the physical part. You know, I mean, I'm only 52 years old, and in 10 days, I'm having a partial knee replacement, you know? And I thought, what is wrong with this? I am too young for this. You know, why is this happening, and what is it going to be like afterwards? And we may have to do the other one, whatever. And it was like, wow, I became more aware of my own mortality, that I'm not always going to be here. And, you know, like, share Jesus with the people I meet. You know, that's the spiritual part's what's going to go on when this earthly body is gone. The spiritual part is what's there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. When I had cataracts at a very young age, I mean, it's been like 10 years. And so I was like in my late 40s when I had cataract surgery. The ophthalmologist said, I can't believe you have cataracts at your age. Well, guess what? At any rate, I understand. Knee surgery, cataract surgery. And yet, we're going to be sewn. I like that. You know, it's like, it's not a burial. I'm getting sewn so I can reap this new body. And Paul says, you know, behold, over in verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. Okay, so Paul's saying, get ready. I'm going to tell you something that's been hidden now for a long time. We shall not all sleep. We're not all going to die. Mm. But we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable or incorruptible. We'll be raised imperishable, and we shall all be changed. That's our hope. You know, we've talked off and on today about our hope and holding on to our hope. That's our hope. At that last trumpet, then we are going to be changed. And, you know, Paul goes on to say, for this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. Okay? Everything, you know, just imagine it. This weak body of mine, that weak body of yours, Nan, and of yours, Betty, we're going to get new ones. You know, God's going to take whatever atoms and molecules are left of this mess, put it together in a perfect body. And, you know, it won't corrupt again. It will never age. It will be immortal, okay? Never to die again. That's our hope. And if that's not hope, I don't know what is. You know, that's something to shout about. That's something to tell other people about. And,
you know, Pastor, it is, I mean, listening to both you and Nan talk has just been such an inspiration to me. There's sums up in one word, the name of Jesus.
Amen.
What power that has for those who do not know him and for the ones that don't know him. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is that one word can set the captives free. That one word can bring deliverance to people like you were talking about just a while ago, people that don't think that they amount to a hill of beans. That those people who have been hurt, that have been set apart because they were different. Mm-hmm. But I'm here to tell you that one word, Jesus, sets us free. And it was because of the cross, it was because of the resurrection, that name Jesus resonates power. It resurrects the name, just the name Jesus resurrects healing. It resurrects deliverance. And it resurrects us to the point of where we become, just like you said, the corrupt become incorruptible, because we don't have to worry about dying and never, you know, and our bodies just go back into the earth. We're born again, and we're able to sit with Jesus. Just again, Pastor and Nan, that name Jesus means so much to me, and I hope that it does to the listeners, of just the mention of his name is enough for me.
Amen. Amen.
Well, you know, Betty, I agree wholeheartedly with you, and I can recall at times when I was in deep trials and dealing with things, and there was times that's all I could say was Jesus. I mean, literally, that was all I could say was Jesus, but that was enough. What I said was Jesus.
Yes.
He knew the heartache. He knew what was going on.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He knows our heart, and that's where the name Jesus brings forth love that I can't fathom. I couldn't fathom anyone loving me more than Jesus does. And just, you know, within the last few weeks of what our family has went through and what you guys have experienced with us through prayer and supplication, is that there were times, Nan, that that's all I could say, mm-hmm. or pray in the Spirit. All I could say was Jesus. And it just seemed like just saying that name brought peace.
Mm-hmm.
It brought the peace that passes all understanding. It brought me more closer to Him because I was calling on my Heavenly Father to hold me.
Mm-hmm.
I needed somewhere to lean where there was no earthly being that could hold me closer to Him than Him Himself.
Amen.
Than my Heavenly Father. And when Grayson passed, people doubted our faith for a while because we didn't grieve like most people grieve that do not know what happens to us once that we pass away. And Megan dedicated Grayson to Jesus in the womb. And so we know where he's at, and that's what people need to know today, is that just calling upon the name of Jesus can give you that eternal life, and you have it more abundantly than you've ever had before because you're a king's kid. You wear a crown that other people don't have. Mm. So that's where the resurrection means to me is eternal life.
Mm. Amen.
Thanks for sharing, Betty.
Yes, amen. That's so powerful. And again, even in the midst of the what looks to be the darkest time, mm-hmm. you know, Paul says, death, where is your victory? Death, where's your sting? It's gone now. You know, death has been defanged, as it were. You know, the sting has been snipped off the scorpion's tail. Death can't hurt anymore because Jesus has overcome death, and because we're in Him, we too have overcome death.
Mm-hmm.
Even though these mortal bodies are going to pass, you know, we're going to be with Him in heaven, and one day our spirits are going to be reunited with a perfect resurrection body. You know, praise God, that's the hope we hold to. That's what we truly believe in. And this is a great time for this particular song, Wonderful, Merciful Savior by Selah.
Who would have thought that a
I love that song. It is so powerful. And to any of our listeners out there, just I want to encourage you to know him, to know Jesus. He's not an abstract concept, nor is he the deceased founder of a religion. He's the living Lord. He's the risen Lord. We really don't have much choice. Either we accept him for who he is, you know, our Savior, the Lamb of God, who died and rose again, or we don't. Mm-hmm. And if we don't, there's, I mean, either way, there's eternal consequences to our choice. Mm-hmm. And I just want to lead our listeners in a prayer. If you don't know Jesus, you know, all we do, we, you know, some of us for many, many, many years, and he, not only is he Savior, he's the best friend you're ever going to have.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be your counselor, your guide. He'll be your comforter. He'll be your healer. He'll be your deliverer, and certainly your Savior. So, Father, I pray for our listening audience. If there's anyone who does not know Jesus, who's not made that commitment to the Lord, I ask you, Father, to move in their hearts, move on their lives. Bring them to that decision point, Father. And let them cry out, yes, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the living Messiah, the Lamb of God who takes away my sins.
Yes.
Lord, I pray that you would just move upon those who might be wavering. Give them strength, Lord God, to make a decision for you. Father, this ministry is all about getting people saved and making believers strong and whole. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would draw people in. As people listen to this, they would know that, yes, God is alive. You are alive, Jesus.
Amen.
And you're waiting. You're waiting to just bring us home to you. Lord, I thank you that you've already done it all, that you've already reconciled us to the Father, and all we have to do is say, yes, Lord, I accept it.
Yes.
I'm sorry for what I've done. I know my sins have offended you, but I thank you that your blood took them all away. I thank you, Lord, that you're giving me your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that you are my Savior and my Lord. Father, we give you glory and we thank you, Lord. We're believing for a harvest. Those of us here in the studio and Betty, Lord, we're believing for a harvest to come in. And we can't wait, Lord God, for we are harvest hands. We are reapers in this harvest. And we give you thanks through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Yes,
amen.
Lord.
Amen. Oof. Any final thoughts, Betty? Oof, powerful.
Yes. If I may, I have something that hit me pretty strong this morning is the Jesus calling is come to me with empty hands and an open heart, ready to receive abundant blessings. I know the depth and breadth of your neediness. Your life path has been difficult, draining you of strength. Come to me for nurture. Let me fill you up with my presence. I in you, and you in me. My power flows most freely into weak ones aware of their need for me. Faltering steps of dependence are not lack of faith. They are links to my presence.
Amen. Amen. Oh, I like that. That's so true, because we think in order for God to do things with us, we have to be strong, and yet we're strongest when we admit when we admit we're weak.
Amen.
So praise
Amen.
God. Thank you for sharing that, Betty. And Nan, I looks like you maybe have something for us.
I do.
I knew it.
Oh, bless her heart.
I am a wonderful, merciful Savior. I give you my grace to you even now. You will live in such victory, for I am your awesome, mighty tower. Hunger after me with all of your heart. I am here and do love you so much. I give you my grace in all you do. You will move in more power. You will feel my touch. I will always be with you, child. Look to me in all that you do. Child, you bring me much delight. I am so very proud of you. And that one just kind of signed your Heavenly Father. And I will say, if anyone's interested in any of those, Pastor Marcia can email them to them.
Mm-hmm.
We've said that on the show before. Just email her at pastor@bohmglobal.com, and she'll send you out a copy of the poems that's been written today.
Right. And if you have any questions, you know me, I like to answer questions. I like to, because I want to make sure everybody understands. And if you have any questions about, well, anything, but especially anything we talked about today, you can email me at pastorjim@bohmglobal.com. Again, I want to thank Nan and Betty for being on with me today. I want to remind everybody that we are meeting at 21933 North, or U.S. Highway 19 North in Clearwater. Beacon of Hope Ministries. What a blessing. I mean, this morning service, incredible.
No, it was awesome.
It was awesome. It really was. Mm. And it just keeps, as we used to say in Indiana, it just keeps getting gooder and gooder.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen.
You know that. It just keeps getting gooder and gooder.
Gooder and gooder.
You know, each step of faith along the way has been just wonderful. God has provided so much for the body and so much for each of us individually. What a wonderful God we serve. You know, what a mighty, wonderful God we serve.
Amen.
We can't outdo God.
Mm-mm.
You know, he's always there ready to bless. I mean, that's what we talked about today. Because of what Jesus has done, we have victory over Amen. All things.
Amen.
All we have to do is take it, you know, and walk in it. Jesus has already provided it. There's nothing left for us to do except to walk in it, to live it. So I just want to encourage all our listeners again, you know that Jesus loves you. Know that God loves you. He's not up there ready to hit you with a big stick because, you know, you sin. He went to the cross to take those sins away, to show how much he loves you. He rose from the dead to seal that deal so that, you know, here I am. You know, Paul says in Romans 1:4 that Jesus was shown to be the Son of God in power by the resurrection of the dead, by his resurrection. He was declared the Son of God. You know, and I said this morning, it's like all the angels were up there shouting, and that goes back to that first song that Keith Green sang. You know, just listen to the angels shouting. Mm-hmm. You know, they shouted the victory when Jesus rose from the dead and walked out of that tomb. Long before that stone got moved, I think he just walked through the stone. The angels were shouting victory songs. I mean, imagine that hallelujah chorus.
Wow.
You know, incredible. And he shares that same victory with us.
Amen.
Right now we don't see the totality of it, and we won't until he comes back. But every day he gives us victories. Little victories, big victories, but every day more and more victories because he loves us, because he lives within us. And because of his blood, we can walk in newness and fullness of life. So I just want to encourage our listeners, just take that to heart. Pray about it. Trust God with your lives. And remember, we're here for you. We meet at 10:30 on Sundays. Almost forgot when we meet. And then Wednesdays at 6:15 for prayer, 7 o'clock for Bible study. And remember, it's not far to Jesus. Daddy's still on.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.